this week, and whatever you've done, I want to echo the comments of your pastor. Thank you. Luke 10, verse 9, two kind of short verses. And as we look at Luke 10 tonight, we think of the Gospel of Luke. We think of four Gospels. They are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Four men that the Gospels were named after. Gospel means good news. The good news that Jesus lived, died, and rose again. The good news that Jesus loves you like you are. And Jesus died for you like you are. And Jesus wants to save you like you are. And he wants to change you so that you will begin to serve him like you never have before. Now, revival is for the church. And last night we talked about a picture of revival in Acts 4. And we talked about what things would be and how things would be if a revival were to occur in your heart and mind and in the life of this church. And that really remains to be seen what has really happened here this week. I don't get much discouraged anymore when I go through a week of meetings like this, three or four nights, and it don't see much result, though we've had result here this week. Brother IB may call me in 4 or 5 weeks from now. I might just say, Brother Rick, you just will not believe what is happening in our church. And we both will say, to God be the glory. Great things he hath done. But here's the bottom line on the revival and the opportunity to have and come and sing and preach and have prayer meetings prior to. Really, friends, the bottom line is what we do with the Word of God. And so again tonight, we face the Word of God, and we face the words of Jesus in Luke 10 and 2, where he said, Behold, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. God's harvest. That's the simplest title I've had this week. God's harvest. And you say, what is involved in God's harvest? Well, let me give you four words to start the message tonight. These are the four words. Number one, sinner. Number two, believer. Number three, disciple. And number four, laborer. Number one, sinner. The Bible declares that we are sinners. You may not like the term, you may not like me calling you a sinner, but God says you are a sinner. I am a sinner. We are all sinners. And the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Bible says, for there is none righteous, no, not one. And the Bible says, for we like sheep have gone astray, everyone into his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity or sin of us all. Isaiah says, all of our righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of a holy God. Ladies and gentlemen, we are sinners. And I was once a lost sinner. Apart from God, I did not choose to be apart from God. I was born apart from God. Romans 5 and 12 says, through one man's sin, that's Adam's, death passed upon all mankind, for all have sinned. The first Adam in a perfect environment, by the way. Some people say, well, environment determines. Oh, no, it does not. Because Adam was in a perfect environment, and he still sinned against God. Amen? And through his sin, death was passed upon you and I, and that has never been done away with. In fact, the only reason that it is different in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ is that everyone after Adam had a human father. Therefore, they had a tainted bloodline. And when Jesus was born, he had no human father. He had a stepfather because the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost of God was and is his father. And though he had a human mother named Mary, who was highly favored and highly chosen amongst all the women, and yes, she didn't understand it any more than you understand it or I understand it. She said, how can this be, seeing that I know not a man? And Joseph, who was a just and a godly man, wanted to put her away privately, but the angel of the Lord came and had a little talk with Joseph, and Joseph changed his tune and decided he would not put away Mary privately, that he would accept her as his beloved wife, and she would have and be the human incubator for the Lord Jesus Christ, and she would have Jesus, and we call that the virgin birth. Amen. And if it were not for the virgin birth, then his life, his death, and his resurrection would not count whatsoever. We're sinners, folks. We're sinners. Secondly, a sinner has an opportunity to become a believer. Not every sinner becomes a believer. We can argue over Calvinism. We can argue over whatever. You say, well, preacher, what do you believe? I just believe the Bible. You say, well, you know, everybody says that. Well, that's the problem. Everybody says that, but they don't believe it. I didn't say I understood. I just said I believe. And sometimes I have to do what the message of the song said earlier tonight, because I come to church, and I'm not perfect, but I listen when I come to church. I don't come and just daydream. I don't come and just sit on the pew like a bump on a log or a bump on a pickle. I come here and I listen. When people pray, I listen. When people sing their songs, I see the message on the board here as you see the scripture, and I listen. I listen for a message. I listen for something that will keep my heart in tune with God, that will bless me. I look and listen for something that will convict me, that will convert me, that will convince me, that will help me become a stronger Christian. A believer. When did you become a believer? Oh, you say, I believed all my life. No, you're not hearing what I'm saying. I know you may have believed all your life, because the Bible says in Romans chapter 1 they are without excuse. And it talks about the fact that nature and your own conscience proves that there's a God. I want to make a statement here, probably the most controversial statement I'll make of the week. But friend, there is no such animal as an atheist. You say, oh yes, there is. No, there's not. According to the Word of God, friends, everybody who is of normal intellect has the ability and knows within themselves, because God placed it within themselves, they know that nature comes from a supreme being or a creator. Now, they may not call God what you and I call him, but listen, friend, that native in Africa or that person on the dark side of Australia, they know something makes the sun come up every day. And they know somebody makes the sun go down every day. And friends, and even an atheist can reject that. And isn't it something these days that the atheists are now renting billboards in America to tell us of the person they don't believe in? Now, how stupid is that? Paying hard-earned money to convince me of somebody that I know exists. And they know exist, and they've got to lie to their own self and deceive their own self and pay their own hard money. Well, just keep on paying your own hard money. If you're that, and I say this for the fourth time this week, my mother wouldn't like it. If you're that dumb, keep on doing it. But even the dumb and the deaf and the blind and the maimed, and the halt, and the sinners have an opportunity to become a believer. Thirdly, disciple. Now, every believer will not necessarily become the disciple the Lord wants you to become. Now, every believer is a disciple, but every believer will not become the disciple the Lord wants you to become. The word disciple means learner. Learner. The word disciple means follower. A learner, a follower. And we might even say that a real disciple, one who really loves Jesus, is going to become a close follower. He or she's going to have an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and nobody's going to come in place of that relationship. My wife knows I love her with all my heart, but I love God more than I do my wife. I love my children, those three daughters of mine, they are precious to my soul, but I love God more than I love Rayanne, Heather, and Aaron. Those six grandchildren, they are just what their names say. They are grandchildren. But I love my Lord more than I love Houghton and Harrison and Anna Kay and Hadley and Andrew and Brady. And friend, I love Jesus more than I love my pickup truck with 220, nearly 7,000 miles on it. Where do you stand when it comes to being a disciple for the Lord Jesus? Hunting season, I believe, begins Saturday with a gun. Already had begun with a bow. Do you love Jesus more than you love deer or deer hunting? Football games tomorrow night. Boy, I like it. Man, it gets cool temperatures and you put the jacket on and the hat. Here we go to the Friday night high school football. Man, nothing any better I like. But are you a true disciple of the Lord? And how close do you follow him? Would you follow him if nobody else did? Would you come to this church if everybody else quit and it was just maybe the pastor and his lovely wife? And they said, hey, by the grace of God, we're going to be here. Some of the others got mad and they pouted. Some didn't get their way. Some decided to go another way, and some decided not to come back, and some decided to go somewhere else, and some decided to do this or do that, and yet those two people said, no, sir, by the grace of God we're saved, by the grace of God we're serving, and by the grace of God, as long as God is in us and with us, and he will be in us and with us, we're going to serve the Almighty One. We've made up our minds, we've made our plans, God has helped us, strengthened us, he's given us what we have, and everything we have and owe, we owe to him, and we're just going to be here, we're in it for the long term, not the short term. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me tonight. You've got to be more than just a person that says, I believe in God. Amen. Because the demons believe in God and tremble. And none of them are serving God that I know of, are they? And none of them are going to heaven, are they? And you've got to get beyond just saying, oh, I believe in Jesus, I believe in God. How much do you believe in God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God? And how much are you following the Lord and how close are you following Him? God needs some disciples. Fourthly, there's labor. 1 Corinthians 3 says we are laborers together with God. The ultimate achievement for a Christian is to become a laborer for the Lord, a worker for the Lord, a worker for God, a person who goes to work for the Lord, a person that works for the kingdom of God, a person that works in and through his church, in and through his community, a person who has become a light for the Lord, a person who is salt. A person who is faithful, a person who loves, a person who does, a person who witnesses, who shares the gospel, a person who is a blessing to other people, not a burden, a person who is a help, not a hindrance. A person that is a stepping stone, not a stumbling block. Are you a laborer? for the Lord. You see, what we've done this week here is not labor. This is worship. And this puts fuel in my tank so that I can go out those two doors and work. Because you see, the harvest is on the outside. It's not on the inside. And though, yes, you could have some of that on the inside, because all of the people are not necessarily saved, though they're sinners, amen. And some are believers, amen. And some are disciples, amen. Truly close disciples. But a lot of people inside the church are not laborers. They come and enjoy the show, and I know that I'm just using that term loosely. It's not a show, but they're coming and enjoying the show. They like the singing. They like the music. By the way, thank you folks for coming and picking that band. Man, I wished I could pick that thing up and just pick. You wouldn't have to ask me to pick a banjo or play a piano. Woo! But I can't even play a radio without getting static, so don't ask me to do those. But whatever gifts and the talents God's given you, He expects you to use. Why is it that we have to beg people to sing and play and teach and stay in the nursery and drive the church van? Why? Well, Jesus said the harvest truly is great. Number one tonight, God gives us a promise here. He said, the harvest truly is great. You say, what harvest is he talking about? Well, let's fast forward to today. Let's forget about that day, because that day you and I had nothing to do with. You say, well, you're trying to change the scripture. I am not. I'm simply trying to make the scripture applicable to the day and time in which we live without changing it. And I'm not going to change a word of it. The harvest truly is great. I'm not changing that. But if the harvest truly was great back then, what is it tonight? How many people are on planet Earth tonight? 7 billion. 7 billion with a B. China has 1.5 billion. India has over 1 billion. Russia has over 600 million. And the United States of America has about 325 million. Those four countries of the world have about 3.4 billion people of the 7 billion people on planet Earth. If you just start with China, India, Russia, and the United States of America, and if those four countries were just doing evangelism, if they were just serving the Lord, 0.5% of the population of India even claim any Christianity whatsoever. They are a Hindu nation. They believe, Hinduism believes, that everything is a god. And that karma is what you are and what you do. And if you were a bug before you were a human being, and some of you have got some characteristics where you look like you could be a bug. If you don't watch out, I'll get my fly flap out and I'll just boom, you know. And there are some people that I've had the temptation to just boom with a fly flap. And you know those kids, you get around those kids sometime, they will walk a chalk line if they see you coming with that fly flap. Amen? But I'm not getting on their backside with a fly flap. I need to hit some people right here with a fly flap and get their attention. Well, Hinduism teaches that everything is a god. The dirt is a god. You say, that's ridiculous. That's what they believe. This pew is a god. These cases are a god. These instruments are a god. And before this life, you were something else. And if your karma improves, you can be better sometime in the future. You see, Hinduism believes in reincarnation. Christians believe in resurrection. We don't believe in reincarnation. I never existed before this lifetime, but I will exist after this lifetime. Amen? They believe that they existed before and they will exist again, but won't they be surprised when they die? And I'm not saying that to be funny, but they will die without the Lord Jesus Christ, and they will be plunged eternally into a devil's hell where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. They'll wish they were a worm, but they won't be. Jesus said the harvest truly is great. In the state of Georgia, we have 10 million people. 10. Count them, 10 million. Georgia is the 10th most populous state in the United States of America, number 10 at 10 million. It makes the top 10. Southern Baptist Convention in the state of Georgia, which is the Georgia Baptist Convention, tells us that over 70% of our state is unchurched. 70% of 10 million is, guess what? 7 million. I believe that figure probably is a little low. I believe there's probably more people unchurched than 7 million. I believe they're being a little bit conservative there. I'm not saying they're not telling the truth. The best they could do is do their figuring and their work the best they could. And maybe 7 million is right, but I think all of you would agree that 7 million out of 10 million unchurched means we're kind of losing. Amen? And if it's more than 7 million, we're losing even more. And that's the reason Jesus could say tonight what he said back then. He could say tonight, October the 15th, 2015, Rick Brown, Abby Boy Yet, Brother Marshall, Brother Darrell, and all believers here tonight, and all of you that know Jesus are believers here tonight, and some of you are disciples in a serious way tonight, and fewer of you than that are laborers here tonight. Jesus could say the harvest truly is great. People are everywhere, and people everywhere have a soul, and they need to be saved. And some people are just waiting on you and I to smile at them, to shake their hand, to hug their neck. And some of them are waiting on you and I just to mention the name of Jesus. Secondly, we're going to move from the plan now to the problem. You're going to go negative. No, I'm going to be truthful. If you look at this as being negative, then fine. He said the harvest truly is great, but there's a problem here. You say, what's the problem, preacher? Read it off the board. Now, is the harvest negative? Is Jesus negative? Is the Word of God negative? Let me give you three or four things there's nothing wrong with before I give you what is. To have a harvest, you got to have seed. Don't you? I see all this cotton these days now. Boy, I'm seeing it more and more. They go in and spray. Doesn't it take about 7 days for those leaves to fall off, or is it longer than that? Tell me, son, how long does it take? You're all right. Mama let him speak. How long does it take? 100? Well, I hope not. That cotton farmer's going to be in serious trouble, but I appreciate you listening. You are listening to me, and that's more than a lot of people are tonight. Thank you, son. You are listening. But now, how long does it take once they spray that cotton? About 7 days? Ma'am? Okay, about a week. If the weather, no rain, cooperates. But it took a seed put in the ground for that cotton to come up. It didn't come up by itself. It didn't volunteer. You say, well, what's your point? My point is, friend, the seed is the Word of God. And there's nothing wrong with the Word of God. You can buy some bad seed sometimes at the feed store. And I've known people that did and had to take the seed back and either get a refund of their money or buy some more seed. But friend, when you come to church, you will not have to worry about hearing about bad seed unless the person who's teaching the Word of God is a false prophet or not teaching the Word of God. And if they are teaching the Word of God or preaching the Word of God, that is good seed. Secondly, there's nothing wrong with the Savior. Notice who's speaking here. Jesus said the harvest truly is great. Can you find any fault in Jesus Christ? Pilate said, I find no fault in him. Nathanael said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Boy, was he wrong. John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Simon Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Ladies and gentlemen, all the people in the Bible that had any sense whatsoever, whether they were sinner or a believer, knew that Jesus, the centurion there at the cross right before he died, said, truly, this man is the Son of God. One of the thieves on the cross had enough sense to say, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. The Philippian jailer said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And Paul and Silas said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Listen, friend, how do you view Jesus? Nothing wrong with the seed, nothing wrong with the Savior. Thirdly, nothing wrong with the Spirit. In Acts chapter 1, the Lord goes back to heaven. Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes down. Acts chapter 2, the church goes out. How do you think God does his work today? He does it through the person of the Holy Spirit. And though the person of the Holy Spirit is greatly misrepresented today, greatly accused of things that he's not guilty of, greatly accused of things that happened, and people say, oh, the Spirit did that, when the Spirit has nothing to do with it. But he is still here, is he not? He lives inside of every believer, does he not? And the Spirit, ladies and gentlemen, has not changed. Greater is he that is in you, greater than he that is in me, than he that is in the world. Nothing wrong with the seed, nothing wrong with the Savior, nothing wrong with the Spirit. Then, preacher, where's the problem? The laborers are few. And who are the laborers? They're what we call another S word. They are saints. You see, God recruits you, draws you to himself by his Spirit, saves your soul, puts your name in the Lamb's book of life, seals you unto the day of redemption by his Holy Spirit, grows you in grace and in sanctification, which means being set apart. Gives you at least one guardian angel, and the way some people drive, they have to have more than one guardian angel. And the way some people live, even as Christians, they have to have a bunch of guardian angels. God gives you everything that you need. Everything that you have belongs to him. He is gracious, he is loving, he is forgiving. And yet he is a God of wrath. He is a God of judgment. The Bible says, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And Jesus here says the problem is me. And you. You say, preacher, not the devil. I didn't say the devil doesn't hinder, but Jesus doesn't say here the problem's the devil. Remember, greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. You don't understand, I have to work for a living. I do too. I did a funeral Monday, and I worked Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday for Swain Funeral Home. I worked last Saturday for 12 hours. I preached twice on Sunday. I did a funeral on Monday, worked Tuesday, did a funeral on Tuesday, and worked. I'm not bragging. I'm just simply telling you, some of you throw up in my face, you got to work. I do too. You say, a preacher works? I know that sounds real strange, but yes, we work. And more than 3 hours a week, by the way. Amen? And friend, it really doesn't bug me anymore what you think about whether I work or don't. I know what I do, and I know that one day I'll stand accountable unto him for what I do and don't do. But there's one thing I've tried to do since I was a teenager till now. I have tried to work for Jesus. I have honestly tried to work for Jesus. And as long as God lets me live, Brother IB, I am not going to rust out. I'm going to burn out. For who, preacher? The Lord. When I left my last pastorate 12 years ago, my main prayer was, God, do not put me up on a shelf. And God, I want to stay busy. And that's the only prayer I prayed, because that's the only prayer I knew to pray. I was not going to make God a bunch of promises that I couldn't keep or wouldn't keep. So I just simply said, Lord, I do not know what you want me to do at this moment in my life. I was 47 and a half. You might say in one sense I was having a midlife crisis, though I didn't see it that way and look at it that way. I guess that's what I was having. And though I was still a young man, and I'm still a young man, I'm 59 years old tonight, have a lot of energy. To God be the glory. God's given me good health and strength. That could change just like that. But the problem is me sometimes, not him. And the problem sometimes, Brother IB, is me and not even you. And sometimes the problem is you and not me. And sometimes the problem is we. It's all of us in this room. So we have the plan, we have the problem, or we have the promise, now we have the plan. What is the plan? But the labors are few. What's the first word of the third line? Would you say it again? Would you say it again? Would you say it for a third time? You say that's the plan? To pray? That's where it begins. Are you serious, preacher? No, Jesus is serious. I'm serious too. I'm trying to be, but Jesus is. And he says, pray, and this is what he said about prayer, and I'm through. He said, number one, here's who you pray to, the Lord of the harvest. Now, I respect the Pope. I don't agree with the Pope. The Pope is a man just like I am, and he must be saved just like I have been. I'm not here to stick a finger in the Roman Catholic Church, and if you have a background in Roman Catholicism, I'm not here to knock that. I'm just simply telling you that the Pope is a sinner just like you and I are. And if he gets to heaven, he will get to heaven the same way that I and you do, and that is through the blood and through the life and the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's the only way he can go. That is the only way he will go. And I can simply tell you that is the way it is. So when I pray, I don't have to go through a man. When I pray, I don't have to go through a church. When I pray, I don't have to go through some creed. For the Bible says, for there is one mediator, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And notice what Jesus said in John 14:6. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And the only way you can get to Jesus, get to God, is through Jesus Christ. Pray to the Lord of the harvest. And here's what we pray for. That he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Brother IB, do you have a waiting list in your church for teachers? My brother that leads the music, do you have a waiting list for choir members? I mean, you got about 30 seats in that choir, a little bit better. All 30 of those seats filled every Sunday morning. Half of them. Sounds like to me y'all got a labor shortage around here. There's a labor pool here. This is not a union or an anti-union statement, but we don't need a union. We don't need any more bosses. We need some laborers. We got too many bosses. We need some people that'll just roll up their shirt sleeves. And if their last name's Brown, or it's Boyette, or it's whatever your last name is, we could all care less about that when it comes to working for Jesus Christ. And we could care less what our position is. I just so happens God called me to be a pastor and a preacher. He could have called me to do something else. He didn't. God's called every one of you to do something for Him. But at the top of the list of things to do for Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit, as it you ought to have top priority, I want to be a laborer for the Lord. Would you stand to your feet? Message is over. You say, boy, that was quick tonight. It was. You listened quickly, so it was quicker than that because you listened. Brother IB, will you and your lovely bride come here and stand down front? This will be our invitation, and Brother IB can continue the invitation if he wants. If y'all will, pick out a number that you can pick. We'll sing too, but I'd rather have... You guys, can y'all come up and play? If you don't mind, I'm sure they'll pick a song that you know. We'll get the whole band involved here. And I want us to do tonight during the invitation, I want you to come around. Are you listening to me? I want you to come around. These two people right here, I want you to convey to them your feelings. And I don't want it to stop with just them. I want you to convey to each other your feelings for each other. Because Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, united and in one accord, is so strong that not even Satan himself can divide you if you are united by the Lord. And you need to pray that that will be the kind of solidarity you have in your fellowship here, that not even Satan himself, because the Bible says that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And if the gates of hell can't conquer you, how could anything else conquer this church? Amen? So I want you to come tonight. I want you to tell these people how you feel. And I want you to tell each other how you feel. Give me my roses while I'm living. Don't pass by my casket one day when I can't hear you or see you and say, oh, Brother Rick, I don't want that. You tell me that tonight at the front door if you so desire, but I don't want that when I die. I want it now. Let's go. This is the invitation. You go. The altar's open for you to pray. This invitation is with this aisle open for you to encourage not only the Boyettes, but to encourage each other. Because remember, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few.